This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great music and great conversation. It's just gone 2 o'clock, which means it must be time for another edition of Take 5. It is the show, as you know by now, surely, that invites you to imagine that your house is on fire, but it's okay. You've got yourself out, you've got your family out, you've got your pets out, and the only thing you have to choose now is five records, and only five, that you would save from your precious collection of vinyl. Which five would you go for? And also, which book? Which film, which photograph, and also which object of sentimental value would you go for? It is a tough choice. It's a difficult choice. And the man putting himself into the position of choosing those things today is a man, well, I guess he must be used to making tough choices because he's a politician. His name is Paul Nuttall. He's from Bootle, and he is the chairman, no less, of the UK Independence Party. How you doing, Paul?
Afternoon, I'm fine, thanks.
That's it's quite an exalted position for one so young, because I must admit, I did a bit of Google research on you. I did 2 minutes, as my journalism tells me. And you're younger than me. You're only about 33, aren't you?
32.
I do apologise, yeah. November 1976, so...
November 30th, same day as Winston Churchill.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Do you see that as some kind of sign, perhaps?
Well, you know... Getting out there in Europe and all that, yeah.
You never know. Well, let's hope that your foray into Europe is slightly less bloody than Winston Churchill's, but there are members of UKIP who might quite like the idea of carpet bombing certain countries. You are young.
Yes.
And UKIP is in some ways a party, I suppose, identify with older people who are, mm-hmm. who are worried about Europe and not particularly forward-thinking. Yep. Do you find it hard to explain to people that, A, you're young, but yes, you are really the chairman of UKIP?
Well, the thing is with UKIP is that we've gone through a change over the past 3 or 4 years, and the party's really changed from being what people would consider to be old-fashioned right-wing conservatives who are unhappy where the Conservative Party's going to being a young libertarian party. In fact, if you look at the leadership of UKIP, you've got a leader who's 44, you've got a chairman who's 32, and a general secretary who's 28, with the youngest leadership team out of any of the other political parties in Britain. And what we're putting together now is a series of forward-thinking domestic policies, and we're looking forward to the general election next year.
So how did you, because you became an MEP mm-hmm. back in July in the last yes. intake, so you now represent the northwest of England over in Brussels.
Yeah.
How has that been?
Well, I've only been out there once, and that was to Strasbourg.
Is that because of the summer break, or...?
Well, yes, it's because of the summer break, because we all get all this time off, you know, taxpayers' expense. It's a disgrace, really. And, you know, there's two European parliaments, and that's something which people don't really know about. There's one in Brussels,
yep.
and then once a month we have to go out to Strasbourg in France, basically just to keep the French happy. So I've been out to Strasbourg, I signed in for the first time, and I basically just realised what a complete farce the whole place actually is.
Why is it a farce?
Because it has no power. I have absolutely no power whatsoever. All the decisions are made in the European Commission, which isn't elected and meets in secret and decides 80% of the laws of this land. And what they do is they hand it down to the European Parliament. And these people just put their hands up in the right time to say yes to everything because their jobs and their lifestyles depend upon it. And I think we should just be out.
Because that's interesting, isn't it? Because it's interesting you got no power, because we spend our whole times being told we're ruled from Brussels,
yes.
we're ruled from Europe, we don't get any say in anything anymore, and now you're saying it's not the European Parliament who we've been blaming for the past 10, 15 years.
No, it's the
years.
European Commission. Mm. It's different. I mean, the Parliament, yes, the Parliament is elected, but basically it's just cloak and dagger to hide the fact that all the power lies in the Commission, and it's the Commission which meets in secret where the decisions are made.
But there are people who would say, well, you would say that because you're UKIP and you want to sever ties with Europe, so of course you're going to say we should just, you know, pull out altogether.
No, well, I would say it because it's a fact, because that's where the decisions are made in the Commission. And look, you know, I don't, you know, not like Europe. I love Europe. You know, I've lived in Barcelona, you know, I've lived in Brussels, I've got Spanish friends, French friends, German friends. I love it. I just hate the European Union, and that's different.
What's it like over there when you bump into politicians mm-hmm. from other countries and you say, oh, I'm with UKIP? Do they kind of take a step back and think, oh, is this guy going to chin me or something?
No, chin me. No, I mean, with some people, we are the bogeymen of the European Parliament. But what happens in the Parliament is that you organise yourself into groups of like-minded parties from other countries. Mm. So believe it or not, there's a UKIP in Poland. Believe it or not, there's a UKIP equivalent.
Are they called?
Don't ask me to pronounce what they're called.
Yeah.
But we organise ourselves in groups, so we stick to our own groups, and we get support from that. But I must say
you see, you'll sit there and go, we all hate each other.
No, we don't. We just hate the European Union,
gotcha, yeah,
mutually. But I must say, in terms of talking to other politicians out there from England, I mean, they're all very nice. I just don't agree with them ideologically.
How did your political journey begin? Because you're from Bootle.
Yeah.
You kind of just decided at the age of 14, I want to be a UK separatist.
No, I didn't. I wanted to be a footballer, and I played over at Tranmere Rovers.
Ah.
And then I went to university and got into history, did a history degree and a master's in history, and became quite interested in politics. And I ended up teaching at Liverpool Hope University. And it was while I was doing that I became aware of the problems with the European Union. Then I went out and lived in Barcelona, and I seen the effect firsthand that the euro has had on their economy, and specifically on working people. Because when the euro came in, you found that prices were rounded up, yet wages were rounded down, so it really hit the working man. And I came back and I was absolutely determined that the euro would never come in Britain. And I decided to do something about it, and I joined UKIP.
Do you think the euro will come in Britain?
No, because I don't think the euro will exist full stop within the next 20 years. I think Greece will be first to go within the next couple of years. I think then you'll see Italy go. And I think then probably Portugal and Spain will go next, and I think the whole thing will crumble.
I've not heard that. I guess some things you just assume they're here to stay. I tell you what, you should have carried on playing for Tranmere, because they're not going to be in Europe anytime soon. We shall talk about your football career and your political career and much more, but also, more to the point, you have to make a hard decision today.
Yep.
And it is the five songs you're going to say from your metaphorically burning home. And the first one is Whatever by Oasis. I've got to say, it's a cracking song list. Even if you don't like UKIP's politics, you've got to keep listening for the next hour, because Paul has chosen some great tunes. First one by my favourite band, Oasis. It's Whatever. Why have you gone for this one?
Well, I love Oasis. I went to see them the other week up in Bury.
Mm.
Why I've chosen this is because I think, yes, it's Oasis's best song, but it also reminds me of a great time in my life when, you know, I was young, I'd just started going out. I was actually DJing in Indie Nights in the Merton pub in Bootle, and I always used to finish on this song, so it reminds me of that as well. And I just think, you know, the Gallagher brothers at that point in the 1990s were quite frankly the best band in the world, Oasis, and I just think this is their best song, and I love the intro, and I love the end. You've got to play the full song.
Okay, well, I was thinking about talking over the intro, but just for you, Paul Nuttall, chairman of the UK Independence Party and MEP for North West England, I'll let the whole thing run. This is City Talk 105.9. It's Whatever by Oasis. And I hope that anyone who did enjoy Paul's nights DJing at the Merton in Bootle have relived some happy memories there. Handy the Merton, opposite the magistrate's court, so you could sometimes park in it when you were going over there. For a court case, I'm talking about reporting on a court case. Not just turning up. We're going to get through some more of your songs very shortly, Paul. But I just want to ask you a bit more about Tranmere, which you mentioned before that song there. I didn't realise that. You used to play for Tranmere. You told me you were a keeper.
Yeah, I was a goalkeeper, yeah. Yeah. I played for Tranmere until I was 18, and then I was released. And, you know, I had the choice when I was 16 whether I was going to go on to be a YTS or whether I was going to stay on schoolboy forms and continue to do education. I went to Hugh Baird College instead, and, you know, I got pretty horrendous injury when I was 17, and I was released. The other problem that I've got is that I'm only 6 foot. And the mid-90s, if you think back to who the goalkeepers were in the mid-90s, you had Peter Schmeichel, Shaka Hislop, David James. It was the age of the giant goalkeeper. It was the age of the 6'5" goalkeeper. And I think being just under 6 foot, it really hampered where I was going to go with my career. Whereas in the 80s...
It shrunk a bit now as well. I mean, Pepe Reina's tiny, isn't he?
Absolutely. You know, you look back at the 80s as well with Southall and Grobler and people like that. They were all just 6 foot. Now, you look at Pepe Reina, you look at Shea Given, for example. You know, the age of the smaller goalkeeper is back.
Mike Taylor as well, who plays for Birmingham City, or played recently for Birmingham City. Yeah, I don't even think he's over 6 foot, actually, but maybe they just look small when they're on the pitch. So do you feel a sense of bitterness at all that, you know, you could have been potentially earning a huge footballer's salary?
No, because I went on and did what I really wanted to do, was to basically, my goal was to teach. Mm. I wanted to be a history lecturer. Mm. I wanted to get my PhD, which I'm still doing, but I will finally finish it. And I wanted to lecture history, and it was only that the politics came along as a result of social awareness, really, that I've deviated off. But, you know, if I do this job for 10 years as an MEP or something, if I get re-elected in 2014, then I do envisage that I will go back to lecturing one day.
Do you think you'll be able to stay neutral as a lecturer, or do you not think you'd be tempted in every lecture you gave to these young minds, these malleable young minds in universities or sixth form colleges, you'd be like pushing your UKIP agenda all the time?
Well, I doubt it. I mean, I did have these views when I was teaching, and I never ever came down on either side. However, you do find some lecturers standing outside the lecture theatre selling the Socialist Worker magazine, so...
They're rarely politically neutral places, are they?
No.
Universities and further education, generally. Now, we must press on, because we've got four more songs to get out from you, plus, of course, you get to save a few other objects from the flames of this metaphorical fire, including either a film or a TV series, and you've gone for The Good, The Bad and The Ugly. Are you going to make some reference to the Conservative front bench here?
Not the Labour one. No, I've chosen this film because, quite frankly, I just think it's the greatest film of all time. You know, it's 3 hours. If you watch the film, for the first 10 minutes, there's no words.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely sensational. And, you know, when Tuco is running through the cemetery and the song Ecstasy of Gold is playing, it's just unbeatable. And the soundtrack to The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, the Ennio Morricone, is absolutely just sensational. And the direction, Sergio Leone, you know, it's filmed out in Italy and Spain. And
you know
the scenery is just sensational.
You know that's Europe, don't you?
I do know that's Europe.
So you're choosing it anyway, which is nice, because you don't hate Europe, we know you hate the European Commission. 1966, an old film as well, so, you know, there's been a lot of moves forward since in terms of technology and stunts and special effects and stuff, but you're going old school on the film choice.
Absolutely.
No problem with that. You can save that from the flames, of course, and you can save your next song, which is certainly not from... the far fields of continental Europe. It's from right here in Liverpool. It is the Lightning Seeds and Sense. Why have you gone for this one, Paul?
Well, I think it's the best Lightning Seeds song. The last concert I went to last Sunday was the Lightning Seeds at the Philharmonic, and they were brilliant. And I thought I had to balance the whole thing out, because if you look, I'm not going to give away what I've chosen from here on in, but it is really Manchester-based, so I thought, well, look, I'm on a Liverpool radio show, my mates are going to lynch me, my favourite Liverpool band are the Lightning Seeds, and their best song is Sense, so that's what I've gone for.
And fair enough, although, of course, you're allowed to represent Manchester, because you represent the northwest of England in the MEPs, in the European Parliament, so, so you've got to kind of choose a broad church, but you're right, to save a lynching from your mates over in Bootle, you've got to choose a Liverpool band, and the one you've gone for is the Lightning Seeds, and this is Sense. It's City Talk 105.9. It is the second choice of Paul Nuttall, the UKIP chairman, who has taken us through the five songs he would rescue from his burning home. Have a listen to this. Who is Paul Nuttall, the UKIP chairman and MEP for North West England. He's got three more records to come, and even if you disagree with UKIP's politics, you can't disagree with the music. We've got Johnny Cash, we got the Stone Roses, and we got one by the Smiths as well. That is all to come on City Talk 105.9. Stay where you are.
At British Gas, we know your home is your world. And this summer, if you're an existing customer, you could get £400 off a new energy-efficient boiler. Plus, we'll look after it with 2 years free home care worth £408. Call 0845 075 0026. Offer ends 25th of July. Look after your world for less with British Gas. Conditions and exclusions apply.
4202000. To all mobility allowance holders, now even better value. The new Nissan Qashqai Ascenter 1.5 diesel, only £499 deposit. Plus many new micros and notes at nil deposit, including automatics. 4202000. See me, John Leach, at the Witness Car Centre, Moor Lane, Widnes. 0151 420 2000. 4202000.
The Rhys Jones Memorial Event takes place at Alma de Cuba on Wednesday, August 12th from 7 p.m. And all the money raised will go to the Rhys Jones Memorial Fund and City Talk 105.9's Cash for Kids. Hosted by Neil Fitzmaurice, there'll be live entertainment including Liverpool band The Maybes, VIP guests and your first chance to view the plans for the new Rhys Jones Community Centre. Tickets start at just £10. So join us in celebrating the life and the legacy of Rhys Jones. Book now at citytalk.fm/charity.
This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
She's right, you know, it is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, your host on City Talk 105.9 between 2 and 3. I hate that word, I don't know why. Anyway, I am your host between 2 and 3 on City Talk 105.9 every weekday, always in the company of a different studio guest who takes us through the five records they would save from their house if it was on fire, and also a few other bits and pieces as well. And on that that journey now, if you like, is Paul Nuttall. He's the UK Independence Party chairman. He also represents the northwest of England over in the European Parliament, which he doesn't like, but at least he gets to band together with all the other sort of misery guts from Poland and stuff, don't you, Paul?
Yeah. Oh, we love it. We love it.
When are you next going over?
September.
And what do you do? Do you fly over, or do you go and get a ferry from Newcastle?
No. Getting to Brussels isn't the problem, because what you do is you fly from Manchester straight into Brussels. Mm. The problem is Strasbourg. It's impossible to get to. Mm. So what I end up doing is I end up having to fly to Paris, then get a train into Paris to Gare du Nord, then walk across Paris to Gare d'Ouest, and then get a train up to Strasbourg. It takes about 8 hours.
And how far is Strasbourg? I don't even know where Strasbourg is, to be honest.
Strasbourg's a funny city, actually, because the Germans and the French can't make up whose it is, because it was German, then it was French, then it was German, then it was French. It's about 3 miles away from the German border.
Right. So is it one of those sort of Alsace-Lorraine territories that was given to France after the First World War and that caused so many problems?
It's the capital of Alsace
later on. Oh, there we go. I never knew that. Is it a nice place?
Strasbourg is absolutely beautiful. One of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to in my life. Brussels is a complete dump.
Is it?
Oh, it's a dump.
Do you know what? I've been to Brussels. I had a nice time. I drank some beer in the square. Mm. I met some fantastic people. The beer's really strong, actually. You have to be careful what glass you're drinking out of.
The Duvel.
Why don't you like it? What's wrong
with it? Well, you know, Brussels was wrecked in the 1960s and 70s when they knocked down what was beautiful old Brussels, and what they've built instead is these grey, soulless, bureaucrat-type buildings. Mm. And, you know, the place, there's dog dirt everywhere as well.
There's a Tintin Museum, though.
There's a Tintin Museum.
Maybe it was Snowy that's been leaving all the dog dirt everywhere.
Well, you know, there's a Tintin Museum and there's Anderlecht, very little else.
Okay, so tick for Strasbourg, maybe not for Brussels.
Yes.
We're going to get through some more of your records soon, including one that will be linked to Liverpool and indeed their travels in Europe. I bet you like Europe then, don't you? Before we do that, there's a wedding photo to get to, because you get to save one photograph from the flames, and you've gone for, is this your own wedding?
Yeah, it's my own wedding, and I'll be honest with you, I only put this down because my missus was looking over my shoulder when I was writing the... I was going to put the picture of all the lads in Istanbul. No, seriously, it was a wedding photo, and it's a photo of everybody together at the wedding. I think there was about, you know, 100 people there. And it was funny, really, because the photographer climbed up onto about a 20-foot wall to take the photo, and he'd basically been doing everyone's head in all day, you know, in everybody's face. And as he went to take the photo, he fell off the back of the wall. And my grandma turned around to me, who was standing next to me, and she went, "I hope he doesn't get up."
But so he left it an hour, then he ran and helped
him. Yeah. No, but he did get back up, and he took the photo, and it was an absolutely fantastic photo, which sort of encapsulated the day, which, you know, strangely enough, I got married on July the 4th last year, which is Independence Day.
Which is ironic, because you don't keep your independence after a wedding. And is your bride a Bootle bride as well?
Yeah, she's a Bootle girl. She works in Manchester for a PR company, and she'll be at home now, because she's working from home today, listening in, no doubt.
Well, hello to, what's her name?
Linda.
Linda, hello, Linda. What sort of family did you come from, Paul? Because you obviously, education must have been important to you. Did you get sort of pressure from your parents not to go down the football route when you were 16 and offered that YTS with Tranmere?
No, it didn't, quite the opposite, actually. Mm. I'm a Bootle lad from a working class family. Went to Savio High School. I was the first person out of my whole family. My grandma had 9 kids. Mm. I was the first person to ever go to university in my family. And I was, you know, my family always took a keen interest in my schooling, and, you know, always made sure that I did my homework, but there was never any pressure for me to do anything, really, and it was just a decision that I made myself.
Why is that? Why do you think you were, if you like, the black sheep of the family?
White sheep. Well, I was with a good, I mean, the problem that you have with a lot of inner city schools, I think, is that your life can go either way very easily, because you can very easily get in with the bad crowd. I was in with a good crowd, a good gang of lads who were very keen and very interested in school. And again, I had the backup from my family as well. And I suppose the good thing about football and what it did is it kept me off the streets. Mm. And if it wasn't for football, and if it wasn't for the fact that I was training 3 nights a week, playing Saturday, Sunday, weekend in my teenage years, you hate to think what could have happened in your life. Mm. And it did keep me on the straight and narrow. And I suppose the football did really push me into education. It also gave me discipline as well.
And do you, Kip, as a party, do you have policies on education, like what you would do with schools?
Yes.
Or do you begin and end with, we just don't want to be part of Europe?
No, we have policies right across the board, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, I am probably the biggest supporter of the grammar school system that you will get. And that may sound strange coming from a working class lad in Bootle, but I think what the comprehensive system does is it traps the working class and it stifles aspiration. You know, if you look at social stratification or social mobility, it was greater in the 1950s and 60s than it is now. And what the comprehensive system does is it keeps the working classes in the places and kills any aspiration of getting out of it. And I think it's a wicked form of social engineering, to be honest with you. And what you've got now is you've got education by money and postcodes when it should be education by ability.
Do you accept, though, from what I've just said, there may be a certain PR hurdle for UKIP to get over, which is that a lot of people will say, yeah, OK, I will vote for them in the European elections because they kind of stand on an anti-Europe ticket. Maybe I'll even vote for them in the odd by-election or something. But you're going to have a problem with convincing people that you're a mainstream party outside of issues around Europe as well.
Yeah, and don't forget we're a young party as well. And what we've done over the past 4 years is we've tried to move UKIP from being a single-issue pressure group into being a fully-fledged political party with a whole raft of domestic policies. And we've got 22 policy groups working now on putting together a coherent manifesto for the general election. And it will be different than the other political parties because, quite frankly, you've got this social democratic consensus between the main three parties, and frankly, you couldn't put a fag paper between the policies. So we will be the only party, really, who are saying something completely different.
But are all your policy-making people, are they all tub-thumping anti-Europeans? Because if you've got a group making policy about education, for example, it probably doesn't matter too much what their views on Europe are. Surely you just want the best people, or is it a prerequisite that to even start making policy for UKIP on anything, you have to be fully paid-up member of the party?
Well, you do have to be a fully paid-up member of the party. And what I will say about UKIP's membership, and besides, I will get a little bit of a PR in here, that we are the only political party whose membership's going up. I think we have the most intelligent and the most academic membership out there. So you see our policy groups, they're being written by professors and doctors and people who've got experience in the fields which they're talking about. So we will have a very clear and a very coherent and a very different manifesto to everybody else.
You also have enjoyed some time in Europe away from your professional life, in your sporting travels. You played for Tranmere, but you are a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, massive.
Season ticket holder?
Absolutely on the cop.
Since you were a boy, or is that a more recent purchase?
I think I went to my first game in about 1982, I think, anyway. And I've been on and off a season ticket holder. And then I went away to university, and I sort of lost touch with it a little bit in the mid-90s. And I've been back as a season ticket since 1998, sitting on the cop.
Fantastic. And it's been, although you haven't won the Premiership, an amazing decade for Liverpool fans, not just that night in Istanbul, but also, you know, things like the 2001 treble and the FA Cup final of 2006 against West Ham.
Absolutely, the Gerrard goal,
But obviously, it's hard to see past that one European Cup final night in 2005, and that's what your next song relates to.
Absolutely, it was just a fantastic trip. In fact, I will honestly say, and I apologise to my wife if she's listening to this, that, you know, that the day before was just immense. It was probably one of the best days of my life, actually. It was like Liverpool had taken over the whole city. And that it was a party the night before in Istanbul, and there were red flares flying up, and we were all in Taksim Square. And it was just so different for us because my generation, I've never been to a European Cup final. You know, my dad's generation have when we were in the four before Istanbul. And it was just, it was as if the whole city, Liverpool, had decamped to Istanbul.
Or at least half of it,
anyway.
Let's not make the Evertonians switch off their radios.
Are there any Evertonians in Liverpool?
I think you'll find there are plenty. Let's not start that. You're already arguing with Europe. Don't start arguing with Everton as well, or you'll have a real fight on your hands. Well, the song you've gone for is obviously reminiscent of that special night in 2005, for Liverpool fans at least. And it is Johnny Cash and Ring of Fire. It's City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, this is home with great music and great conversation. That was Johnny Cash and Ring of Fire. It was the third choice on today's Take 5 of Paul Nuttall, the chairman of the UK Independence Party and a member of the European Parliament. And if that has offended any Evertonians for its Liverpool links, then at least it's a good tune, which is, some would say, more than you can say for You'll Never Walk Alone, but that could be a debate for a different day. We're going to go on to your book now, Paul.
Yeah.
The book you're going to save from this metaphorical house fire is quite an intellectual one. It's The Picture of Dorian Gray. I'm sorry, I sounded surprised there, which is quite offensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
What are you doing choosing this?
Yeah.
It's The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde. So would it have been too obvious to go for, you know, Winston Churchill's autobiography or something?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I have a study at home with, I must have over 1,000 books. Mm. I'm obsessed with books. And I particularly like this book because I'm really interested in that period. I mean, that period, late Victorian period, is the period that I study. It's the period I've written my theses on. Mm. So I'm really interested in that period. And politically, I think it was a fascinating period. But with Dorian Gray, it's the story in itself is a message, isn't it? That, you know, the picture, he makes a deal with the devil as such that he will always remain young, but his portrait, which he puts in his attic, will actually grow old instead.
Mm.
So, in effect, he's rotten inside but beautiful on the outside. And I think you can say that about a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Perhaps even people in politics. Well, that is the book, the book you are going to save. We shall find out two more of your records very shortly. The Stone Roses and The Smiths are coming up. And also, a favourite object, an object of sentimental value, you're going to save from the flames as well. And I'm sorry, Evertonians, it's another thing with links to LFC. But stick around anyway, just for the music at least. It's City Talk 105.9. Yes, indeed, it is Take 5. We're in the home stretch at the moment. It's just coming up to 3:15. Don't forget, after 3 o'clock, we don't go away. Peter Mack will be here with 4 hours of drive for you, including that football hour between 6 and 7. After that, Jonathan Dean, will be driving you home and playing some music to get you chilled out for the evening too, between 7 and 10. After which, of course, is Pete Price. Are you an evil person? I'm not speaking to Pete now. That's the question he's asking his listeners tonight. Are you an evil person? Pete Price will be putting that to you between 10 and 2, plus the open forum and the peaceful hour and everything else Pete does so well on City Talk 105.9. However, before we do that, I have the small matter of two more songs to get through from Paul Nuttall, who is chairman of the UK Independence Party, and he's been talking us through his choices. So far, he's had Whatever by Oasis, Sense by the Lightning Seeds, Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash, and now, or very shortly, Made of Stone by the Stone Roses, another Mancunian band.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I think the Stone Roses' first album, The Stone Roses, is probably the greatest album of all time. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And this song, as soon as I heard it when I was younger, I knew that my musical taste had changed forever, because before that I was into, you know, rubbish like Poison and Dire Straits and Guns N' Roses.
Oh, hang on, I like Dire Straits and Guns N' Roses.
Middle of the road nonsense. But as soon as I heard that, it changed my life, actually, in terms of my musical taste. And
so did you become an indie kid in the past?
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, the whole Manchester era with the Inspiral Carpets and the Happy Mondays, I absolutely love it. And I just wish I was a little bit older and I could have got along to Spike Islands, which was the Stone Roses' famous gig.
Yeah, I missed a lot of that as well. I mean, I was into it as a kid, but I was sort of 12, 13, and also I wasn't as close to growing up in Birmingham. You weren't as close to the action as you would have been here in Liverpool, which is a short hop over to Manchester.
Well, I just remember wandering around in my baggy Joe Bloggs jeans, my Fruit of the Loom t-shirt and hoodie.
The old Joe Bloggs jeans where you used to, it was a kind of a mark of a man how big your flares were. And you actually used to know, didn't you? You said, I've got 18-inch bell buttons on. It looked absolutely dreadful, but at least the music was good. And we have similar haircuts now, which is to say, not much. You have the Grant Mitchell look, and I'm closely heading
that
way.
You're more Phil.
Yeah, did you? Oh God, I'm not sure I want to be. Did you have the indie kid curtains?
Oh, absolutely, and you know, the most devastating day of my life. I mean, I loved my hair. I mean, I'm going to make no bones about it. So it's quite ironic
was
that
it
I'm
ginger?
Bald now.
You look like you've got a ginger colouring.
No, it was like blonde. It was blonde.
Strawberry blonde.
Okay. And the most devastating day of my life was when I went to get my hair cut. And I had long hair. And the barber turned around and said, you do know you're going bald, you know.
Really? How old are you?
I think I was 23. Devastated. Mm. Considering my dad's got a full head of hair and he continues to remind me of it all the time. Yeah, pretty devastating.
Like, do you know what? I know a lot of your mates are listening. If anyone wants to send me a picture of Paul Nuttall with hair, I'm sure we could put it on our website or get it to the Echo or someone like that. It's will@citytalk.fm if anyone wants to send us. I'd like to see Paul Nuttall's curtains. And that, I mean that in a haircut way, not in a kind of home furnishings way. Well, I tell you what, let's metaphorically at least shake our curtains now, because on City Talk 105.9, it is a Stone Roses and it is made of stone. City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. Paul Nuttall was just feeling for his comb, then he remembered he didn't need it anymore. That's what happens when you play tunes from your youth, which reminds you of the days you had hair. Never mind, it's still a good tune, Paul, and we're nearly at the end of your voyage now. You've just got one more record to choose from your metaphorically burning home.
Yes.
And also an object as well. The object you've gone for is a signed LFC football from the 1983-84 season.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Whenever I go to any of these dudes, I end up buying all sorts. I mean, I've got a signed photograph there of Chris Eubank and Nigel Benn, which I bid for. And I've got a 1983-1984 Liverpool football ball. I think it was probably the greatest team that Liverpool ever had. Joe Fagan was the manager. We won the treble, and it was players like Kenny Dalglish, Ian Rush, Alan Hansen, Mark Lawrence, and Bruce Grobler. The captain was Graeme Souness. Fantastic team, and it's a treasure.
Fantastic. It's a good one to choose. Do you sort of get to meet any of the players, either in your professional capacity or just as a fan knocking around?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years back, I did a bit of work out in Brussels for Real Madrid and Chelsea and a lot of the big clubs in Europe trying to stop European legislation, which would affect their transfers. So I did get to meet some of them. Yeah, I met Eusebio, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Platini.
That's not bad.
That's not bad, is it?
And you said you used to live in Barcelona as well. What were you doing over there?
I took a career break, actually, and went out with my missus, and we both taught English abroad, did it for a year, loved the place, go back quite often, got friends out there.
So can you speak a bit of Catalan?
Café amiet. That means coffee with milk, that's about it.
Yeah, sounds. Either that or he's one of those players that's about to be transferred.
Yes.
How do you feel, just before we wrap up the show and go on to your last song, how do you feel UKIP is treated now? Because you've had, in some ways, an image problem that we touched on at the start of the show. Do you think the media's coming round to you now?
Well, some of the newspapers are, but, you know, in the last Norwich North by-election, which was a couple of weeks back, we finished a good fourth. Mm. You know, we were only a couple of hundred votes behind the Liberal Democrats.
You get into Europe
votes.
Fourth now, don't you?
Well, absolutely. We don't want that. And we were treated pretty awfully by the BBC. Mm. I mean, they wrote us completely out of the whole script. You know, we finished second in the European elections. We beat Labour and the Liberal Democrats. You know, and we're still treated as a bit of a pariah because we don't agree with the BBC's politically correct attitude towards the European Union. There we are.
Can you see this changing over the next few years? Can you see yourself becoming more mainstream?
Well, I think we are becoming mainstream because you don't finish second in a national election and not be mainstream. So I think we're forcing the media to take us seriously, and I think you'll see the growth of UKIP continue over the next couple of years.
I think we'll see the growth of Paul Nuttall as well. I used to watch you when you were a councillor, standing for council in Bootle when I was a young cub reporter. I used to see the guy in the shirt and tie making the speech thinking, aye, aye, that guy's going somewhere. And you got all the way to the top of the tower. It's Paul Nuttall and, of course, chairman of the UK Independence Party. No time for you to explain this, and I think it's a song that doesn't need any explanation anyway. It's your last one on Take 5, the last one you'll be rescuing. It's by The Smiths, and it is called There's a Light That Never Goes Out. Paul, thanks for your time.
Thanks.